Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Channel 12, Channel 17, Public Education Channel and Religious Education Channel. We are here tonight to talk about the falsity of Christianity today. And anyway, so we are. This is April 14th, Sunday night. I got the yawns, but we're going to continue. I'm still not comfortable with the title of this thing. You know, we're looking at Christianity's bad press today. It's kind of what it's called. I guess I didn't type it up there tonight, did I? But there are so many things that are wrong in today's Christianity that it just looks so bad out there. We kind of quick review here. The modern Christian looks to the Gospels or the Tribulation books for love or threats. Bible preachers are like popes anymore. Different Bibles, pastoral authority is a big whanger for people, and no one Bible attacked the King James all the time. Even the King James guys are following the Greek, or they teach what they were taught by their guru. I've been there, done that. And they say they're rightly divided, but they're rightly divided by verses based on their teachings. You've got parents that abuse their children based on scriptural reasoning, of course. And what do we got here? They let's see here. Oh, I got the yawns all of a sudden. It was because I'm getting warmed up here from the snow out there. All their stuff. I will try to get these notes up. Just like I said, I try to get the notes up for Wednesday night, but I don't have them done yet. Or whenever that was, I talked about something here. Oh, Mark, you did Wednesday night. Didn't you do Wednesday night? It was, I'm so far behind here. And we got into the Christianity today, which is a false Christianity. It's a conceited bunch of people. It's a proud bunch of people. They think God blesses them based on their own goodness and their giving and their prayer and their confessions and their own heart and the love they have for others and their peacekeeping desires. Went over that this morning. They're honorable and devout people, women especially. Acts 13, we mentioned wrong dividing equals profane and vain babblings, and good words and fair speeches in Romans 16. And we were just getting down into the fact that what they preach is they preach falsely. And we mentioned this morning wrong gospel, Romans 2:16, 1 Corinthians 4:17, Hebrews 9. So we got into that. So now let's continue here. Let's go to Romans 11:22. They preach falsely. They preach the severity of God and how threatening He is and that type of a thing. So we're just getting into this thing here. They preach falsely here. And we see that in Romans 11:22, we see that where it says, "Behold, therefore..." Oh, you have to go away in a minute. The warmth is so nice from walking over. Now I got wet legs here. "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off." So we're looking at the fact that right now we're living in the day and age, if you want to call it that, to when we're dealing with the goodness of God, not the severity. And the preachers in Christianity today, they're all working on either the love of God, there's a difference, and the severity of God. So they're preaching a false gospel still here. John 3:16, they preach the love of God. Let's look, we know the verse, let's look there anyway, John 3:16 here. And we know what that says without a shadow of a doubt here. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, who shall not perish but have everlasting life." So they're preaching a love of God, that He loves everybody, and we know that that's not the case. I mean, He would, but He can't. There's a block there between He has to love those that allow Him to. So they preach that thing. They preach a false love. They preach the power of prayer. We go to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Let's go way back to the 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. And we know that over the last couple of years here, people have been taught this Jabez prayer, that if you just pray this over and over and over, God will bless you. So there's a false teaching. You go into 2 Chronicles chapter 7, just a few pages over there. But 2 Chronicles chapter 7, you see the other great thing that people love to claim, falsely of course. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." So they claim that thing falsely today. Then you go into Mark 16 and you get these people preaching the power of healing. And In these signs shall follow them that believe, cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up servants, drink any deadly things. So then after the Lord has spoken, if he's received up in heaven, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. That whole thing. The power of healing. We go to Romans, for example. We see the confusion in Romans chapter 6. As one of the examples here, that they think you need to stop sinning, and that's a false gospel. And they get into Romans chapter 4, and they get into Romans chapter 10, for example, chapter 10, verse 3, they get into this righteousness thing, and they're claiming the wrong righteousness. So it's a mess. Christianity today is just preaching a bucket of mess, a bucket of pottage, I suppose. I don't know. I've just heard that word in a nursery store somewhere here. So, my point being here this morning is that Christianity is getting a horrible press right now in the news. And the Catholics, well, everybody thinks that Catholics are Christians. They have a lot to do with it. But you see all these other churches and these other people, and you see these people that go to church for a while, and then they get disappointed and they get discouraged. Well, they're being taught falsely. Christianity today is actually not... It's a lie, the way it's being preached. And again, knowing that what Paul says in Romans chapter 2, that when the Gentiles are done with this stuff, the goodness of God, God's going to cut it off, and that's the trip, that's the rapture, that's when this is going to take place. So, here I got a couple more thoughts here. Power of prayer, the Jabez prayer, stuff like that. We get the Lord's Prayer. Everybody's into the Lord's Prayer, you know, Matthew chapter 6. We get into confession, Psalm 51. We read about Hannah, we read about Hezekiah. These are all stories that people use to show what Christianity is today, and they'll go to everybody, but they will not go to Paul. And then, of course, those people that go to Paul, they still forget about the fact that the risen Savior has told Paul what will or will not burn in the judgment seat of Christ. So there's still an important walk that needs to be taken care of, needs to be at least strived for, knowing that in the tribulation, they're not going to be able to. We don't want to today. We just want to have the goodness of it all, but not have to do what we want to have to say no to some stuff. But in the tribulation, the power of God will have to come upon the people, the Spirit of God upon the people, to get them to be able to do what they have to do. We ought to count our blessings, and we don't have to do that sort of a thing. They preach in Christianity, they preach an inconsistent, unfair, and a hateful God, is what they do. I mean, some people experience miracles. Some people experience blessings. Some people experience answers to prayer. Some people experience healings. Some people good works in their lives. But we got deaths. We've got disasters. We've got acts of God. And they all teach these things as God's judgment. But boy, is it ever inconsistent or what? And it's unfair because he doesn't do it clean across the board. And as a result, people will end up eventually hating God. Now, again, what we're talking about here, try to keep this thing on the same kind of a plate, we're looking at the fact that Christianity is getting a horrible press today. Nobody wants Christianity. Well, they allow Hinduism, Islamism, Borism, the whole spiel. But there's just something about Christianity that just bugs people. Well, it's getting worse and worse. Or it's growing, but it's growing in deception. Now, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we see here in verse 5, classic chapter, we all know these verses here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, having a form of godliness. So this is what's taking place, but denying the power thereof. So it looks religious. And the power that's being denied is not the power of miracles and healings, because that's what the devil is using to deceive these people. So when it preaches this sort of a thing, it says denying the power thereof. You go down to verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We go to 2 Timothy 2:25, just over a column or two. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. They are their own worst enemy. You go up to 2 Timothy 2, verse 20, it talks about vessels of wood and of earth. You go to 2 Timothy 2, verse 23, we see foolish and unlearned questions avoid, because it's just gender strifes. And you go to Acts 13, and you find out these honorable and devout women. I mean, there is a religion here that comes out of a King James Bible. It still can. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. It says here, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. If you go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, which I know we know these verses here, we find out that these people are, in verse 4, they're proud. They know nothing, though, doting about questions and strifes of words. And then it keeps running going. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. So they're teaching a preach here. They're preaching a teaching. They're teaching a preaching. But it's wrong. And I think people that are kind of ecumenically in their little minds, their little hearts, or they're just wanting to, you know, keep peace with everybody based on the Beatitudes, you know, and all this kind of rippy-doo, that this is how they think things ought to be, but they don't realize that it's wrong. Okay, let's see here. Yeah, we're Paul only. We are a Paul only room. You can't get more Paul only. I'm not... Okay, Genesis to Revelation is the word revolution. Genesis to Revelation is the word of God, but we're not. We got a comment here. We're not. I didn't even think what you're calling me. My mind has just been so shot today. Not brighters, but mid-acts. You know, there's things that we still need to do in our lives. So we're Paul only, without a doubt. We're Paul only here. So if that eliminates the name, then so be it. But if it doesn't, hang on. Because what we're talking about here is we're talking about a Christianity that is teaching everything except Paul. It's teaching everything incorrectly because they're going to the Gospels. They're going to first eight chapters of Acts. They go to Hebrews, believe it or not. They go to 1 and 2 Peter. They go to James. They go to Jude. And this is where they get all their stuff from. And we have a Christianity out there that is under attack. And who cares? It's a false Christianity. And the fact that Paul's teachings are almost non-existent anymore, that Romans chapter 2 says, well, you know, when you're done with that, then he's going to kick in this tribulation thing, and that's the thing that's holding him back. So anyway, let's keep going here. So what's taking place today in this Christianity we're seeing here is they're worshiping an unknown God, which takes us to Acts 17. So this Christianity that I'm trying to organize this thing into a sermon this morning, tonight, they're getting a terrible bad press. But it's not Christianity. So let's go here to Acts 17, and we see this whole thing about an unknown God. You know, that's a classic chapter there. And this is what we see going on. You go through this thing, and you see how they worship him with with the music that is not pleasing to God, and a music that is wrong as such. And I'm sorry, they're wrong. It says in verse 23, to the unknown God. They know nothing about Him, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare unto you. Who is He declaring? He's declaring the real God, the real truth here. Neither is worship with men's hands as though He needed anything. And it just goes on there. We know those verses there. We go to Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16. They're kind of similar. Let's look at Ephesians 5:19. These people have no idea in Christianity who they're talking about, who they're talking to, what's going on there. Let's look at here at Ephesians 5:19, for example. Ephesians 5:19. There's your stuff on music right there. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns of spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We know that that's not taking place today. Music in churches is far from melodious or melody emphasis here. Same thing in Colossians 3:16. You go to Colossians 3:16, almost the same thing is said there. Let the word of Christ dwell and admonish, teaching, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing it with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And that is not what music is. That's not what's going on in music today. You go to Amos chapter 5. This isn't the first time. Amos chapter 5. I'll show you something in Amos chapter 5 for the newbies out there, either now or later. Give them some time to find Amos. I'm always slow at finding stuff like that. Amos chapter 5, we see in verse 23, take away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. See, he's even talking. You won't even hear the melody if it's still noise, as he puts it here. They don't have melody. You go down to verse 5 in chapter 6. There they are that chant to the sound of the vial and invent to themselves instruments of music like David. I mean, they take the music that is blessing and pleasing to God, and they do it for themselves, invent to themselves. They do it for themselves. That's all what music is today. It's for themselves. You go to 1 Samuel 16. Let's go to 1 Samuel 16. I mean, there's just things about music and the so-called worship that it's just not what it should be. Going to 1 Samuel 16. Here's a classic teaching that music can bless you physically, mentally, and spiritually, and yet they got to realize that the reason chapter 16, verse 14 to 23, I got a whole sermon on this thing, the reason that this is taking place is because the Spirit left Saul here, and it's replaced with music. It says in verse 14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Then it goes on to 23, that when this evil spirit from God was upon Saul, and David played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and evil spirit departed from him. But that's Old Testament stuff. It's an Old Testament application. That is not the way it works today. We've been over that 1,000 times. Numbers chapter 20, verse 11. What about that? What's in Numbers chapter 20, verse 11? I wonder what's in that. Well, I think we know what's in that. We've been over this 1,000,000,000 times, too. Numbers chapter 20, verse 11. Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly. And he got the water. But boy, did he pay for doing it wrong. And then I've got here Romans 1:25. Let's look at that here. I kind of forgot some of this stuff. I just jotted it down the last couple of days. Romans 1:25. We know what was in Romans 1 already. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. So this Christianity today is not pleasing to God. It doesn't even involve God. It involves an unknown God, and it's not anything what God teaches. Since He died on the cross, rose again, thus begins the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 9, I think. My memory today, I just noticed, is just terrible. Yeah, Hebrews 9 talks about where a testament is. It must be the death of the testator. So, things are different. This is not an Old Testament Christianity that we're supposed to be having. This is a New Testament based on Paul's teachings from the risen Savior to the Gentiles. And, like I said, the people that claim some of that, or some of the people that claim that, don't get into Timothy and Titus because it makes them change their lives. Who wants to change their life when they got God's grace? Well, that's where the Paul people are coming up short. Anyway, we go to Revelation 16. We know what's going on here. Revelation 16 tells us that here's what the devil's doing. 14, there are spirits of the devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And when you think about this, think about the fact that these modern Christians, with this modern teaching, are actually being prepped to fight the real Lord, the real Savior. That's an amazing thought. They're in for a horrible shock. Now, let's go to Romans 1:21. Again, we went there earlier. Let's go to Romans 1, chapter 1. Let's go to verse 21. And this is quite a big deal here. Romans 1:21, where it says here, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So this Christianity today has people whose hearts, their foolish hearts, because they don't even know what to follow, how to go along with these, how to read the scriptures, etc., etc. So their foolish heart is darkened. And as a result of that, you know, I mean, read the list from 21 down to 32. I mean, they became fools, uncleanness, vile affection, a reprobate mind. Like I said this morning in verse 27, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error. I mean, they are already receiving. It's like they're done. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. It's like they really are done. That's quite the statement. When we realize that God says in Romans chapter 2 that he's holding off on people that don't understand or don't know, he's holding off for them to get saved at the time if they can hear the truth and learn to believe it. And you've got the Christians, who are truly Christians, doing things wrong because our flesh is what our flesh is. We're separated from it, spiritual circumcision. And yet, the works that we do will not be judged until the judgment seat of Christ. So God is not going to chastise or spank or whatever you want to call it nowadays, because he's saving that for the judgment seat of Christ time. Why would he spank us today for something he's going to take care of later? Double something, they call that in the court system. It's based on a scriptural thing. You can't do it twice. So when people think they're getting away with music, when they think they're getting away with this modern Christianity, when they think that they're pleasing God, when you think they're doing all this right stuff, and then this Bible comes along and shows them, this King James Bible, rightly divided, comes along and shows them that they're wrong, they toss out the Bible. And they go to these Bibles that teach them that it's okay. So, and does God do anything about it? No, he doesn't. That's the kind of love that God has. Romans chapter 2. He's just, verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation. There's going to come a day they're going to get paid for it. And us, well, hey, our soul has been cleansed. But we still have to have our works judged at the judgment seat of Christ, and we will receive for what we've done. But we ourselves will not be kicked out of the picture as such, I guess you could call it that. So it's quite the thing to understand. But, you know, let's look at the thing in Ephesians too. Let's go to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. There's another warning regarding religion. Verse 17, for this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. We are not to live like other Gentiles live. Their life is their life. Ours is to be different. We are to have a different life as a Christian. And if we are brave enough to come up with that, we will suffer. Paul says that in Timothy, that there will be suffering. And we all know where we could suffer if we really put our foot down on something that's true in our lives and change some of the things. Well, do we have to walk the law? No, we don't have to walk the law, so we don't have to get fired every time we say something. you know. But still, as he says here in 17, henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, that's the flesh, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him. The only way that you can hear him and be taught by him is through a King James Bible rightly divided. Just having a King James Bible doesn't guarantee anything to a person. The things have to be rightly divided, or you get all messed up. I knew that guy wouldn't last very long. That's crazy. So, this is what's going on in Christianity today. It's a mess. It's so wrong. Anyway. One of the things I've noticed with what I've read and learned here over time and experienced with, amongst the fellow Christians as such, whether they be or be not, is that a Christian's walk today is often worse than what the world walks. The modesty of a Christian is quite often worse than the modesty of an unsaved person. If an unsaved person got any kind of character or teachings in them, they somehow they've got a better testimony than a lot of Christians do today. A lot of Christians are flashy. They're louder. They show more in their personal beauty, and they put more pizzazz on within their personal beauty. It's an amazing thing. So this whole point this morning and tonight is there's a Christianity that's getting bad press, but it really isn't Christianity. It just isn't. Here's something now that I pulled aside here. These are five things that somebody put on the internet here. Let's see here. What did I do with this thing? This is from earlier in the term. I kind of left it out of here, I think, here. Is going back to these prayers and things. That's what it was. It was where they preach an inconsistent message. And here are five things that somebody pointed out here. One is the Lord's Prayer. This is how you pray, you know, the Lord's Prayer, oh, Father who art in heaven, da 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 da. The second example here is a prayer of Jabez. I mentioned that in 1 Chronicles 4:10. The third prayer we examine is what David prayed after Nathan the prophet informed him of God's judgment because of his adultery with Bathsheba. And so then here's David's prayer of forgiveness. And then we go to Hannah, who was barren, prayed for a son, and God came through with that thing. And then the fifth one is from Hezekiah. And remember now, O Lord, and he weeps bitterly and all this kind of stuff, and God steps in and helps him. So these people go back to Old Testament stuff. My whole point here, I'm trying to make this whole point here tonight, is the fact that Christianity is under attack. But people have to realize that it really isn't true Christianity that they're attacking. It's just another religion. They talk of salvation, for example. Give yourself to Jesus. You know, what does that mean? He doesn't want you. He has to change. At the moment of salvation, he knocks all that stuff out of there. He wants his record put on you. They say, commit their life to Jesus. What is that? Make a commitment to Jesus. You know, born again, we know where that's at. We know the falsity of baptism and Lord's Supper and confession. That kind of a thing here. They talk here, what's in it for us? Today's Christianity. What's in it for us? What's in it for me? I want to build up my faith. I want to worship God my way. I'd like to pray my way. I like to dress the way I want to dress. We've got things going on, the big church versus the small church. You've got things going on in the schools. You've got the businesses doing what they're doing. You've got the churches, big business, big schools, small schools. It's truly a mess of what's going on today. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Kind of show you something. Let's finish this up a little bit. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 here I've got written down here. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So God still has directions for us to walk and for us to do. Whether we do them is up to us. And if we do, those things that we do they'll make it through the judgment seat of Christ. The things that he didn't ask us to do or want us to do or things that we're wrong to do will burn in the judgment seat of Christ. So we're his workmanship. Modern Christianity is trying to remake themselves their way. It's quite the thing of what's going on out there in the terms of Christianity. So, looking over these notes here, I'm telling you, Christianity is really a disaster. It just really is. The Christianity of today and the true Christianity is the King James Bible, rightly divided, looking to Paul only, and even knowing how to rightly divide Paul only stuff to get you into Corinthians. Realizing that when they say, you know, that the King, Paul's teachings are written to us, and the rest of the Bible is for us, we even have to remember that there are some things in Paul's writings that aren't written to me as a man. They're written to women. And there's things in there that Paul has written from the Savior himself that's written to women and not to me, or to men and not to women. I mean, we've got to realize that sort of thing too. And yet, there's things that we can learn in the tribulational books. There's things that we can still learn in the Old Testament, which includes the Gospels. And Christianity is not teaching that. It just is not teaching that. And so, as a title, I got to come up with a title yet. Christianity is getting some bad press, but man, it's wrong in the first place. They don't even talk about the other stuff anymore. What a mess.